For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning. So what happens now? I'm Douglas Floyd. I'm giving the Dharma talk because our teacher, Taigen Dan Leighton, is on sabbatical through September. And so members of the Sangha are alternating Dharma talks, taking responsibility for this. I see there are a number of people who've had their first sitting of Zazen. That's great. Welcome. And other people who've been here just a few times, which is also great. In light of the fact that a number of people have just had their first experience with Zazen and first Zazen instruction, I thought I would talk some about Zazen. This is sort of a work in progress because I never come up with what I would think of as a definitive script for how I would talk about Zazen. And so that will probably evolve during this talk as well. But I hope that I can throw a little light on things and maybe encourage you in your sitting. Lately, I've been thinking of Zazen and our mind of awakening, which is really what Zazen is, as a right here mind. It's just sitting and being awake in the world, right here. So it's a practice of presence. Whatever exists in our awareness, in our experience, is allowed to be there and in a way acknowledged, even if not explicitly, without privileging one aspect or another. So, you know, most of you are sitting in Zazen posture, so you know, just imagine, so you sit in Zazen posture, you're upright, your eyes are open. And what are you aware of? I mean, you're obviously aware, here I am, in this room, white walls, sanded wood floors, light's okay. You know, you see the people around you, you smell incense, you may hear sounds, either people shifting or cars outside along Irving Park, may hear HVAC going on, lots of sniffling even at this time of year because there's lots of pollen in Chicago today. But also then you become aware of bodily sensations. So, you know, what does it feel like to sit like this in this posture? You may have achy knees. You feel the, whether or not you're sitting in a balanced way, you feel your breathing coming in and out. And then you're aware of thoughts coming and going and feelings and emotions. All of that is present. And just being aware of it is being awakened. And just being aware of that, settling into that, is the practice of Zazen and the practice of awakened mind. The interesting thing is there's nothing in that experience that's different from the experience you have normally. They're not in the sense of any content. So awakening isn't a living, being alive, and adding some great realization, some fabulous idea, or some super clarity of mind, or calmness of mind, some profound insight. It's there's nothing in that experience of the awakened mind, in that right here mind that isn't in our awareness all the time. In a conversation, when we're reading a book, when we're sitting Zazen, whatever. Even if we're not aware, consciously aware, here we are, just sitting here, right here. So even if we're upset, I mean, just think, here you are sitting, and you may be fairly grumpy because your knees or your back hurt, or you're really bored, or you've heard me give something like this talk before, and you're feeling, oh God, here it comes again. That's fine. All of that is part of right here mind, part of that awakening mind. That's one of the interesting things. It's present, it's here, and we are here with it. It's part of this moment. And because of that, in the Zen tradition, we are told that we are fully awakened Buddhas right now. It doesn't feel that way, perhaps, but that's the case. We are confused Buddhas who haven't recognized that fact of our sitting here and being alive and awake and the significance of that right now. So, so why do we need to practice if we're already awakened? And the answer to that is we don't feel to awaken. There's a little twist, you know, both in our ordinary lives and in Zazen itself, we become distracted. We start having random thoughts coming, generating. We get caught up in them, sort of just garbage thinking, random things going on. So that we get caught up in that, and that's sort of foregrounded, and we're here, and we're able to operate in our lives, but we're not really alive to right here in the, our activity and what we're thinking and feeling. But that's not a tremendous problem. The biggest problem is that we are also, let's say, we are clinging and wanting and craving machines. So we come to our experience, and if all the time, either, let's say, we come to each moment or each situation with some sense of longing or dread about what could happen. On a longer scale, to mild concern, to, oh my God, I've got to stop that from happening. Or on the other hand, our experiences in the past haunt us in a way that we think of past good experiences sort of nostalgically, and that's great, or the painful experiences get overlaid onto what's going on right now. And we end up then having that clinging to what could happen, or right now, oh my God, this is terrible, that experience is foregrounded now, where we aren't really sitting here, we're not really aware now, it's sort of living in a hypothetical. Right now, as seen in the light of this bad thing or this great thing that happened to me before, or what horrible thing or great thing is going to happen to me if I just work it out perfectly. I'll avoid the bad thing, or how am I going to guarantee that this good thing happens to me? So it's foregrounded, and we're not here in the same way. We're just not aware of being here. We're distracted. So that's not the case when we're practicing our right here mind. So how do we practice right here mind? And the answer to that is it's not something we create, it's here all along. So what happens is that we find that there are gaps in that neurotic fear mind or longing mind and craving mind where we'll go, oh, here I am, I'm back. We remember, here we are. In having done that, then we can say, okay, I have this perspective now. I'm prepared to sit here with this. I'm prepared, for that matter, to sit here and feel uncomfortable or unhappy or grumpy. I'm just going to sit here and be here. We don't have to do anything. In fact, if we're trying hard to recapture, to practice Zazen and convert, use some sort of technique, then we really get caught up in the technique and trying to create something, which is the same sort of longing mind or fear-based mind that causes pain for us. And we get caught up in not being right here, but in practicing the technique. So lots of times people come to Zazen and meditation practices generally thinking they're going to really concentrate very hard on a sound or on their breathing or something like that in order to create some calm or insightful state of mind. They're going to add that onto what they're feeling right now, because what they're feeling right now is just not quite good enough. So that's really not it, but there are ways that we can encourage ourselves to practice right here mind. And practice of, let's say, awareness of the breath, which I know the first timers here today had a chance to hear about that. That's one of the most classical ways and one of the most effective ways to encourage you to just sit and remain with right here mind. But the difference is, there's a difference in that you're not focused on the breath and concentrating on the breath, really zeroed in on it. Don't distract me, I'm getting enlightened here. It's adding this awareness, this recognition of breath with the rest of the experience of being right here. It's there. You're aware of your breathing, certainly, but just notice it when you're breathing. Just stay there. That having that little reference point helps us to stay right here, being aware of one aspect of right here without grabbing onto it, helps us wake up to the entire experience of right now. And the interesting thing is having this right now mind or right here mind and not getting caught up in any particular train of thought or feeling or plans or memories quiets the mind, and it makes it easier for you to come back over and over and over again. So we tell ourselves, so the practice of right here mind is remembering that we're here, which really we don't have much, or I would probably say any control over whatsoever. But once we have come back, we can acknowledge it's here and say, I'm just going to sit here with, I'm not going to intentionally get caught up in any single aspect of my experience or thought or feeling. And then we'll get distracted. But we do that over and over and over again. We wake up and say, okay, here I am. And the mind calms down, and the awakening and the return to right now mind comes more frequently and more easily. And we're able to settle into it more easily. So it's not an artificial experience that you haven't had before. All of us have had this before, where we're involved in some activity, cooking, and you're doing some repetitive task, and you're chopping carrots or something like that, and you go, well, this is pretty easy, I can do this. What else am I cooking? What am I doing at work tomorrow? Chop, 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 chop. What am I doing tomorrow? I'm not going to make this some sort of cliched story about you chop off the end of your finger, but that's the sort of thing that can happen, and that's how we live much of the time. So we can be chopping the carrot and go, okay, here I am, I'm chopping the carrot, I'm going to be here chopping the carrot. I'm not going to think about what's the problems at work or what my girlfriend said on the call 5 minutes ago or something like that. So if this is just such a normal experience, why do we do it? And I think there are a couple of reasons. I think Zazen may and may not, at any given time you sit down, calm you down. A lot of people come to Zazen and meditation generally because they feel a lot of anxiety, and they figure if I sit down for 15 or 20 minutes doing meditation, it's going to make me calm, I'm going to get some relief. And that may happen and it may not. It may actually make you feel, in any given period of meditation, much more emotional. And certainly, if you're not intentionally thinking of things, believe me, your mind is going to come up with all sorts of things to think about. Frequently, that can be very anxious thought, or tremendous sadness and hard memories, or concerns about anything that's bothering you in your life is going to come up in your Zazen. And this practice of allowing that to come up gives us a different perspective that instead of the automatic reaction to anticipated good or bad or memories of something else that we frequently, if we're not aware immediately grab hold of our feelings and our behavior moment to moment as we go through a day. We learn to be right here with those feelings, and it develops a certain courage. It's not going to kill me to feel sad or to feel anxious. It's fine to be happy, but I'm not daydreaming. So I think the practice of Zazen leads to what's called in Sanskrit prajna, which is translated as wisdom most of the time. And that's true, that's one way of looking at it, but I think other good translations is it's really a kind of know-how, learning how to see through these patterns of grasping and longing and fear and getting caught up in memories, learning to see through those. And also, prajna is perspective. The perspective of seeing them, seeing through the thoughts, putting them in their place. They're a part of my experience right now. They do not dominate. They do not drive my experience of right now. But it also gives a different experience because the practice of right now is the practice of being here in this world. That's the starting point. It's not me learning to do some sort of meditation. It's me returning to this world, which encompasses everything in my experience. That is the primary, the fundamental reality, the fundamental fact of our lives. Here we are as a part of this, in this. This world is me. And the greatest change in perspective of that is that this world isn't just you and me. This world is us. We live in this world of us. And living in this world of us, this directly experienced world of us, is the basis for activity, which is always becomes us activity. Living in the light of here I am, here we are, becomes awakened activity and compassionate activity. Because it's not acting out of this clenched, self-enclosed, self-absorbed concern about how am I going to be safe, what's going to bring me pleasure all the time. It's there. And it tells you valuable things. Fear tells you valuable things. There's something that could hurt me. But your reaction is, oh my God, I can't. It does not need to be, oh my God, I'm going to be hurt. It can be taken into account. I feel fear about this. I feel concerned about this because something might happen that could harm me. And you can act intelligently on that basis. But it's not the self-absorbed, clinging, self-enclosed behavior. But we're able to respond to situations and to other people in an open sense of us. So I think that's... What time is it? I think I've said all I want to say. I'm tired of talking at you. So I'd be interested in hearing whether... how much of this rings true to you and your own thoughts about how Zazen, the experience of Zazen, and if you have any questions, we can share those. There are plenty of people here who've been sitting for a long, long time, and they will have something to say. Thank you. Yes. Sure.
It's very interesting. So I feel like the Zazen, or like in general meditation, is a very interesting topic. It's like if you ask like a thousand Buddhists what's the meaning of Zazen or what's the techniques of Zazen, they probably gonna give you a thousand different answers. So it's really like there's just lots of like different interpretations and different. So I want to ask a little bit more practical questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the Zazen is easier to be done in a group than like individually. So for example, I practice Zazen by myself at home, but sometimes I feel like it's going to take me longer to calm down or to really enter the deep stage. So I'm wondering, can you share, or maybe anyone of you can share a little experience, like how to motivate you to do Zazen by yourself? Like, how can I say, hey, maybe I can, how can I just do Zazen instead of like playing video games?
Sure. I'll be interested in everyone else's view on that. But yeah, certainly everyone has that issue that we have busy schedules and there are things we could do that are very pleasant and, gee, why do I want to go sit on a cushion and stare at a wall if I could be watching Game of Thrones or go have a snack or anything like that. And I think that Buddhism is a practice of vows, making resolutions, saying, this is something I'm going to do. And we are also creatures of habit. And so saying, I'm going to sit facing the wall at this time every morning, or this time every night, or this time every morning and this time every night, is really the way to do it, to make a commitment, and to avoid pushing yourself too far, letting your practice grow, so that you don't resist sitting because you've started to think, if I sit that long, I'll get really bored, I'll get really frustrated, I'll start feeling very antsy and nervous, or it will hurt my knees. Creating the regular practice, even sitting for very brief periods on a regular basis, will grow. It will make it easier for you to sit down each time. I think. Yes, I'll get some.
I'd like to add a little bit.
Go.
To your response to the question. And that is that making the commitment of, like, I'll sit every day at this time, but I think also setting up the conditions, because in the Zendo we set up the conditions to support sitting. So I think, you know, there are kind of rituals of having a cushion, having a whole set of cues that say time to sit zazen. Like, even have a little altar, even if it's like whatever you want to make it. There's something about that of, like, for practice of creating the conditions in your life that support it and intentionally having that pattern. So I guess I just would encourage that.
Mm-hmm. Patient.
I wanted to add something too, which is that in each of those pleasurable activities that we can really want to do and feel like, you know, well, I'm going to do this, there comes a moment in each of those activities where something turns and it's just not as pleasurable anymore. You ever, well, I mean, I can play Sudoku, you know, until my eyes cross. And at some point, you know, you get to a point where it's, you're just sort of like, no, this isn't it. Or, maybe eating chocolate. You eat too much chocolate and you get to a point where you're just sort of going, and that is a moment of waking up where we can sort of step back from that pleasurable thing and say, hey, you know, maybe I could just take a moment right now. And you know, that might be a cue for, trying some zazen. We sometimes have to take it on faith in the beginning that zazen is a helpful thing to do. But over time, it does help us to deal with, you know, some of the cravings for all those things or the pushing away of things. And so just noticing, you know, even in those things that we want to do or we want to get away from, where there's a moment where something shifts, is an opportunity to wake up and think about practice.
Yeah, and I think that we also just find inspiration by beginning to practice and having Zazen instruction and someone pointing out that the experience of waking up, remembering, here I am. People do that now. I mean, even whether you or not you've had Zazen instruction. But having had Zazen instruction or practiced a little bit, its significance is something you're aware of now that you weren't before. And that's inspirational. Oh my, I keep waking up across the day, over and over and over again. I'm awake, here I am, here I am, here I am. And that expansion of the practice throughout your day and in other parts of your life becomes very inspirational and a reason for encouraging you to sit, I think. Yes?
Thank you for talking about being how it can be unexpected that sometimes we have this wave of intense emotion reaction to sitting. I actually did 3 days of sitting, but I hadn't been practicing very long. I think I'd only been at it maybe 3 months at the time. And it wasn't a particularly good point in my life, and I was very shocked at the kind of intense emotional response I had to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to, you know, step away for a while and spend a few hours just kind of, you know, sleeping it off of it because it was that intense, and I, you know, I felt kind of bad about that at the time. But, you know, I had a couple of friends with me, and my teacher at the time, you know, she told me, she said, you know, part of being awake is knowing what you need. And she said, you know, this is obviously what you needed, and you did it. And that's okay. You know, you can come back to it, but yeah, those reactions, they can happen in a natural way. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the long run, it actually, you know, it helps to go through that kind of intense experience.
Yeah. Thank you. David.
I think the word that I should use of faith is one that is important to my practice. I think if we're, you know, there's a lot of healing that needs to happen in the world, in Chicago, in the world. And I think we're all trying to figure out how to be a part of that in a positive way. And I think Zazen helps you uncover the courage that is always in you, has been in you from the beginning, to look at how your own personal karma, your own life is tied into that wider network of the big healing project that we're all trying to be with and work on. And you returning to that project, you know, regularly, that's a gift to everyone. You know, folks are looking for that. Folks are looking for people that will help them. And the way to work together through the struggles that we're all trying to get through to have them. Meaningful, peaceful life. So I think that's what Zazen can do. Is give you that time to not only face your own life, but give you that courage to be ready for moments when you can act in a compassionate way and be work together with people.
Thanks. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Let's see.